اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد والثناء للہ رب العالمین ثم الصلاة والسلام على سیدنا ونبینا وحبیب قلوبنا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. عظم الله اجورنا واجوركم بمصاب مولانا الامام الحسين سلام الله عليه. We've gathered here to commemorate the 40th day after the tragedies and the massacre on the plains of Karbala on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us all for the mournings and the commemoration that all of us have been involved with from the beginning of the month of Muharram. In the verses of the Holy Quran, there are many, many different verses that according to hadith, there's reference in them to the Ahlul Bayt. One way or the other, some of them are particular references to the Ahlul Bayt that include no one but the Ahlul Bayt, like the verse of Wilayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. This verse has got a reference to a very particular event that took place at that time. It does not include anyone but Amir al-Mu'minin salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. There are other cases where we have verses of the Holy Quran that describe individuals in a way that it includes others as well, but the climax has been considered the Ahlul Bayt. One example, كونوا مع الصادقين, be with the truthful ones, those who their words, their actions, and their belief conforms with the truth of this universe. Well, obviously the climax of that are the Ahlul Bayt. But doesn't only include the Ahlul Bayt, it includes others as well. One of the references we find in the Holy Quran to the Ahlul Bayt is found in Surah Al-Fajr, that there is, according to hadith, the example of that verse has been considered our beloved Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi. And that is the last few verses of that surah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainnah. Irji'i إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. O soul that has reached tranquility, calmness, that is steadfast and firm, ارجعي إلى ربك, go back to your Lord. فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. Enter in the gathering of my servants and enter my paradise. What does this يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة mean? What is this state of اطمئنان that we find in this verse? Tranquility, calmness, firmness. You want to find what that means? It means that in, let me give an example of our physical form, then we'll get to the spiritual meaning of it, because the verse talks about the nafs that is mutma'inna. Physically, you and I are out here in the cold, in these harsh, not too harsh even, circumstances. Our body is not calm. You find yourself trying to warm yourself up. The body feels it needs something external to heat it up. And if it doesn't find that, what happens? You start shaking. Okay. That shakiness is the opposite of the state of itminan. Itminan of the nafs, of the soul, is that the soul in the calamities, in the hardships, in the difficulties of life, is steadfast and firm in the state of tranquility. That is Atminan al-Nafs. You want to find examples of that? Tranquility is when Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi, is told that the Prophet wants to leave Mecca and someone needs to sleep in his bed so people would not know he's not there, without any type of fear, with complete tranquility and itminan, he sleeps there. That is itminanun nafs. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, leaves this world, imagine and picture that, the grief that the family of the Prophet would be facing. Amir al-Mu'mineen, considered the brother of the Prophet, أخي وابن عمي, in terms of the blood relation, he is the Prophet's cousin. But according to the Holy Quran, he is his nafs. That close relationship, you lose someone that close to you, how would you be feeling? This is difficulty. His daughter, the Holy Prophet's daughter, has got emotional ties to her father, which is natural and is divine. Now, when the Prophet passes away, and they come and tell Amir al-Mu'mineen about what is happening in Saqifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen just continues doing what he was doing and just raises his neck and his head and recites a verse of the Holy Quran, that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Alif Lam Mim أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people think that they are going to be left just when they say we believe, they're going to be left alone, they're not going to be tried and tested? This is a test. The way he is expressing this is the state of tranquility. In the sajda in which Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me go back with an example and before I get to this one. Tranquility and itminan al-nafs is that you don't back out from the haqq because of the hardship that you're in. Losing the Prophet, the daughter of the Prophet is being disrespected before the eyes of the one that, if there's anyone that has a ghirah in this universe, is Amirul Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi. And his wife, the daughter of the Prophet, is disrespected before his eyes. But because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's able to continue. This is itminan al-nafs. When he is in sajda and the sword strikes his head, just imagine for a second how you would feel if we get a pinch. Okay. If you get a small paper cut, a little more than that, how would you feel? What are you thinking of? Without a second of delay, Fuztu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah. Fuztu Rabbil Ka'ba. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is tranquility. Tranquility is when all your friends and enemies are cursing you in your face and you still make the right decision. It's difficult when the enemy gets at you, but when your people that are around you go against you, that's difficult. To make a decision that they're all against is difficult. This is what Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi had to face. When you know they're going to be calling you ya mudhillal awliya by the people around him, not by the enemy. To make the right decision and to proceed and move forward with that, that is tranquility and itminan. But brothers and sisters, the verse has been mentioned to be a reference to Imam al-Husayn Aba Abdullah. There's something special about Imam al-Husayn, and that is that on the day of Ashura, you know, the battle began in the morning. There's the Imam, his family, a group of people with him that are fighting. They go and start the battle. Eventually, a number of these people start becoming shaheed, which is obvious. They threw arrows. A number of people came shaheed. Then they started the battle with their swords. People started fighting. They started becoming shaheed. After Dhuhr, there came a time that everybody was gone. There is no one to help your Imam. Approximately over 20,000 people have gathered, people some of which have called the Imam to come. They have gathered there to make sure they get a piece of this so they can brag about it later on and say, we were part of the army that fought Hussein. Imagine yourself there. And you have your sisters and the women in the camp with these ruthless men, and you are single out there. To make the decision to continue and fight until the last breath, that is tranquility, but it's beyond that. They say the closer our Imam got to his Shahada, the brighter his face became. When the Imam is getting close and that Mal'oon is on top of him, he hears these words. But the Imam expresses his faith. لا معبود سواك. There is no Lord but you. This is tranquility, brothers. This is the climax of tranquility. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ala alihi. But we are told of this tranquility, brothers and sisters, because we can join in this tranquility and itminan. We cannot take the slightest bit of hardship for our deen and our religion. We can't. We say we believe, and we do believe to a certain extent, but when the belief requires us to do certain obligations that will cause some form of hardship, we're not willing to get involved with that. This is the lack of itmi'nan. This is not being steadfast and firm. Gotta learn from the Imam. If this is the Imam that on the day of Ashura, you and I sit down together and say to him from the bottom of our hearts, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azima. We wish we were with you on that day, and that we would have achieved the great achievement that you did. There's a price for that, brothers and sisters. It's not something to just say and express in words. You may have heard this from me. I think I remind myself every once in a while of this. There were two individuals, I'm sure, many of us think this way. God forbid, we ask Allah to help us. When we have these gatherings, maybe we think, yeah, you know, we wish we were there. We picture ourselves there helping the Imam. And if we were there, the Imam wouldn't have faced what he faced. Things would have been different. If we look at all the Shias that we have in the world now, if we were there, that wouldn't have happened. It's not as easy as you think. In those circumstances, to make the right decision, to be able to take all of that pressure and go, it's amazing, brothers and sisters. And it's very disturbing. You know how many people caused the Kufans not to go to Karbala? Or actually go and fight the Imam instead of helping him? A handful of people. A handful. Before Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad came to Kufa, Everyone was ready to go and fight. Those who really believed in the Imam, and the many that didn't actually believe in the Imam, but they were going with the flow. 10, 12 people came, things changed. Things changed. In a matter of days, it became the other way around. Muslim has to find a place. When Ubaydullah wants to come to the city, he's got to go in disguise. He's afraid they're going to kill him. In a couple of days, if Muslim doesn't go disguised, he's killed. It's not easy. There's a story of an individual, or two people actually, Shias debating. One was saying that, you know, I hope to God if I was there in Karbala, I would be with the Imam. The one said, of course we would. Of course we would have. But that individual was saying, of course we would have had a dream. Picture yourself having this. Now, I'm speaking for myself. I'm at least doubtful if I would have not done what this individual did in his dream. So on the day of Ashura, just as I said, you know, if we have like 200-300 people here going against us, I'm sure some people would not be showing up here. You have 20,000+ people ready to kill you. He said in this dream, it's the scene on Ashura, and people are going to fight, all the companions that we've read. I see Muslim, I see Habib going, I see Zuhair going, all of them go. Then I'm finding a place so the Imam does not send me forward. And when he does, I'm trying to move towards the enemy, and an arrow comes that is supposed to hit me, and I duck. And I look back and I see that heart hit the heart of the Imam. Yes, that's what we would have done as well. We would find anything to get rid of that situation. Do we have that tranquility? Do we have that firmness? Are we even moving in that direction? يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. This is our Imam. You want to follow him? Are you ready to follow him? That's what he wants. How do we achieve this tranquility? There's a verse in the Holy Quran that tells us how we achieve it. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. The hearts have got to feel that tranquility. It is the heart that has to feel, I don't care who's out there. I don't care what the circumstances are. If this is my responsibility, I will do it. If Allah wants that from me, whatever it is, I will do it. The heart has got to feel it. The advice of the Holy Quran, the direction that it leads us to, is the idea of Ala bidhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. With the remembrance of Allah, hearts reach that tranquility. Question. The Holy Quran says the prayer is dhikr, remembrance of Allah. Why don't we feel that tranquility if the verse says you do dhikr of Allah, your hearts would be feeling that tranquility and calmness in the face of disaster and difficulty? Why don't we feel that? Why isn't it there? Because brothers and sisters, let me mention a few examples of not having tranquility, and we'll see what this means. In today's economic settings, and circumstances. People feel internally lost. What are we going to do? Unless you have a job that you're going to be getting paid anyway, or you're going to have that job, you're not going to lose it. A lot of people, a lot of Muslims, a lot of Shias have been very, very worried of what's going to happen to them. That's the absence of tranquility. Is tranquility is beneficial to you and I on our personal level as well. Why is it that we are performing this Salat, which is considered by the Holy Quran remembrance of Allah, and it is. From the beginning, Allahu Akbar is remembrance of Allah. Before that, the intention that I make, that I'm doing this for Allah, that's remembrance of Him. Throughout the prayer, that's the whole purpose of it. But we don't see this tranquility, the result of this dhikr that is mentioned. When we look at the ahadith that talk about dhikr, we kind of start finding the clues why. There's a hadith that says one of the most important obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on the people is dhikr. Then they ask, do you mean Subhanallah? Do you mean Allahu Akbar? Are these what you mean? The Imam says, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that when we are faced with a situation and circumstance of sin, that we stay away from it. We remember Allah then. At the time of sin, because the reason why we commit sin is because we forget God. God forbid that we are reminded, a brother or sister tells us that's a sin. God is watching, and we still continue with that. The reason why we commit sin is because we forget that we are committing sin with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The body, the intellect, the understanding, the memory, the technology, the wealth, all of that is God-given. I'm disobeying Him with what He has given. The reason why we fail to conform with His laws is because we forget. The Imam says, dhikr is remembering God when a billboard comes in front of you. When the TV is showing something it's not supposed to, and we're not supposed to watch. When a job opportunity comes, especially in hardship, where it involves sin. When the time comes to make the right decision, and sometimes leave the job. That's when remembrance of Allah is important. When in a job they extend their hands from the opposite gender to shake, remembrance of God is there. That's what is where it's necessary. When you're invited to a gathering at the workplace where there's alcohol, conforming with the Islamic law, and if that is a setting where I can't attend, dhikr of Allah is there. When I'm put in a tough situation there, everybody's going, now I want to choose not to go. For the youth in school, standing up, the peer pressure, as they call it, that is remembrance of Allah, that is what is necessary. We don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're supposed to, and afterwards, when we feel bored, we get a tasbih in our hand, we say, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. That's not the remembrance that is going to be effective. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It is the complete package of remembrance of Allah that is going to give that tranquility. If you want to see in today's time something that's more tangible, maybe examples, you can look at some of the decisions, very difficult decisions, that were made by Imam Khomeini, for example, in those days of hardship. A lot of people were saying when he was flying from Paris to Tehran that they're going to shoot the plane down. That was unimportant. Not just that he continued and he didn't say, let's stop this, but the way he felt, the tranquility is in the heart. A number of people said this. They experienced this. I heard this firsthand from some of the guards that were present there. Imam Khomeini had a heart problem during the time of the war, and it was not caused by any of the bombing or anything. The pressure that mounted internally, and I don't want to get into that, caused that. Whatever. He had a heart problem. That's why he had machines connected sometimes to him. And some of those times during that war, there were bombings, explosions within the city of Tehran. Very loud blasts, pretty nearby too. Tranquility is the machine is there. You can see the heartbeat. You can see the pulse on the screen. When you see that the explosion happens and that doesn't move, that's tranquility. It's achievable. It's all about you and I making that decision. But brothers and sisters, there is also another example of tranquility. In Itminanun Nafs, by one of the students of the school of the Ahlul Bayt, one of the students of Imam al-Husayn, one of those who participated in Karbala, who was also the sister of the Imam, Zainab Salamullah Alayha. Tranquility doesn't necessarily mean don't show emotions. When it's right to express your emotions, it is wrong not to do so. Women have got more emotions. What they need to stop, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them not to do, not to allow the emotion to take them too far, is where it leads to disobedience to Allah. Aqilatu Bani Hashim is in Karbala. She has come all the way from Medina with her brother. She has taken all the hardship and she knows what is going to happen. The emotions do not cause her to say, oh brother, don't go. Her emotions don't tell her that my sons cannot go, my nephews should not go. Her emotions on the day of Ashura do not even try to stop the battle. Can we go back or anything like that? But there is a time for emotions in Karbala. When she knows her brother is alone, the beloved brother that she has been from childhood, with the ruthless men, and she hears the horse of the Imam behind or outside of the tent, They go out and see the horse of the Imam is there, but the Imam is not. What is she to do? She starts running towards the scene. She reaches Tallu Zainabiyya. For those who've been to Karbala, you know what I am talking about. The distance between Tallu Zainabiyya and where the Imam were slaughtered brutally is not very far. You can see exactly what happens. She arrives there. Wa Muhammada, wa Husayna, wa Khayya. What is happening to my brother? She arrives there to see wa Shimru Jalisun ala Sadri. Ya Allah, wa Muhammada, what are you doing to my brother? Ala lanatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرام بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. The time is very short, brothers and sisters. I wanted to bring this to an end, although it's not Arba'een. But since we're commemorating Arba'een today, one of the signs of a mu'min is Ziyaratul Arba'een. We pray that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to be there. But from here, let's take our hearts to Karbala and to the shrine of the Imam. To imagine where you're going, for those who've been there, picture Bainul Haramain, entering the shrine of the Imam, entering the courtyard, entering the Rawdah of the Imam, face the Dariyah of the Imam, everybody together. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد
أصحاب الحسين جميعا رحمة الله وبركاته.